the Lord gave us this morning thoughts about joy that he gives us. What if he gave us the joy and put it in our heart, and the release that we have from our care and our fear and our pain, but he didn't give us any way for outlet? How would that be? But this afternoon, I'm inspired, and I actually have been inspired with this before I came, but I'm inspired to just look into some of the scriptures about the songs of Zion, about the songs of victory. I'm thankful that he's not only given us the joy, but he's given us an outlet. And what an amazing and wonderful thing it is that he gave us not just a voice to communicate, but he gave music. He gave mankind the gift of music. What a wonderful gift the Lord has given to us. And I want to encourage you to seek the music of the Lord. What is to know it, to experience, to maybe in your life, maybe you don't enjoy music as other people. Maybe you feel like you've been robbed of any gift of music, but you can still appreciate it. You can still listen to it. You can still sing in your way. You can make a joyful noise. And I'm thankful for the outlet of joyful noise that he's given to us. And I'm thankful for the way that he's directed in scripture and in precept or example, he's directed his people to be a singing people. And that's just been a blessing to saints for many, many years. Just think about the music of the saints. I'm thinking about all clear over here in Exodus when they came out of Egypt and they got to the river, the sea there, and there it was made known to them that they were pursued by the Egyptians, and there were mountains on other sides, the sea in front and the Egyptians behind. And the Lord did a great miracle and parted the sea for them and let them cross over. And then when their enemies pursued after them, the Lord wrought a great deliverance for them and closed the waters in upon the Egyptian army, and they were drowned. And how was it that the Israelites expressed themselves at that moment? It was with song. And from then on, the songs became known as the Song of Moses. And I don't know, if there was a tune or not. Music has evolved through the years. There were chanting types of music, and there were, I'm sure, singing types of music. I don't know, wouldn't you like to have heard this one, On the Shores of the Red Sea? That would have been interesting. But I think about this. He said in chapter 15 and 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord." And I believe that when the Lord saves you and me, this was like a type of us being saved from sin. When he saves you from sin, isn't there something that he does for you? He puts a song in your heart. He gives you something to sing about. There, I think that more than anything in the world, they sing all kinds of songs out in the world. Somebody done somebody wrong songs. Those things are just the most depressing songs out there, but they are human experience. Well, when God gives you an experience of salvation, he gives you salvation songs. He puts song in your heart. How is that? Psalm chapter 40. I love the Lord. I think it is. Let's see. "I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. It's been my experience that when the Lord did things, wrought deliverances for me, that seemed like that there was always a song in there with it. Another time in Israel's history, let me just go back to that, Judges chapter 5. This time, Israel had been turned away from God, and the judges would come and bring them back into the worship of God again. This time it was Deborah, a prophetess. She was the judge at that time. And whenever the Lord delivered Barak and his army into the hand, no, Sisera and his army into the hand of Barak, the Israelite army, after they had destroyed that army and subdued them, Jabin, the king of Canaan, then what happened? Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves." Oh, thank the Lord. We also, we read this morning about in the Second Chronicles there where Jehoshaphat and the singers went before and praised the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Yes.
That the Lord sent the ambushments when they sang.
Amen.
But I'm thankful this afternoon for the Lord giving us a song after times of grief. Let's see, there's a psalm. Psalm chapter 42. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance.
Amen.
O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Many people who have gone through grief describe it as being like waves and billows that completely overwhelm you. It says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. I just want to encourage any today that are in grief or in a time of weeping. I believe there's another psalm that says, weeping shall endure for the night.
Yes.
But what?
Joy
cometh in the morning.
Yes.
The Lord has a morning for you. The Lord is going to bring you into a morning where he's going to give you a song. And he'll give it to you in the night too, while you're in the suffering.
Amen.
But I believe we can just trust him and know that though I'm in a time of weeping, the Lord's going to give me a song. Psalm 126 and 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Yeah.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. I'm glad that word doubtless is in there. I'm glad that there's a surety today that when we're in a time of weeping and when we're in a time of sowing where it doesn't look like that we have any fruit to show for anything, just remember, he said, you'll doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, I'm thankful. Isaiah has the thought and about a song here. Let's see. Said, ye shall have a song. I'm wanting the one that says, ye shall have a song as in the night. I just had it. Which? 30. Yes, that's it. Thank you. It says, "Ye shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart." He said he promised to give us the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. He promised that he would give us, what did he say? "I'll appoint unto them gladness." We just read it this morning. He'll impart gladness to us, but it has an outlet. So many times when the Lord does come, it's in a song. I thank the Lord for the songs that he's given. We spoke just a little bit about the scripture in the Psalms about the songs of Zion. I really believe that those were special songs. The Psalms and the Song of Moses, they were songs that were special because they were songs of deliverance. And they were songs of faith in Christ. And they were spiritual songs. And there were songs, I believe, in those days that the Canaanites had. They had the instruments. Well, you think about even the Babylonians. They had those kind of songs at their worship of their gods. And remember, they had music there that they said, when you hear the sound of the music, bow down. So the devil has kind of a substitute. But it doesn't do what the songs of Zion do. It doesn't do what the songs of the people of God. The song of Moses, the song of the Lamb. Oh, where is that? That's in Revelation, isn't it? Revelation 15. Here we read again about the song of Moses. He said, "I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark, and the number of his name, he saw them stand on the sea of glass." What do we understand that to be, the sea of glass? We've been taught, and I believe it's right, teaching. They stand on the word of God. They stand on the promises.
Yeah.
Another scene in the throne room scene said that there was a great rainbow around the throne. The promises of God, the word of God. The covenant of God.
Yes.
We stand on that. And because we stand on that, and because we've gotten the victory, it said they have the harps of God and they sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Thank the Lord. Well, if the song of Moses was victory and deliverance from Egypt, what's the song of the Lamb? Victory and deliverance from sin. This one, let's see. Revelations 5 and 9. They sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy."
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. It's a song of giving glory to the Lord because he has saved us. Because he sacrificed his life for us. He redeemed us. Oh, there's a song of the redeemed, isn't there? It's a song. I keep thinking of songs with these thoughts in them. A song the holy angels cannot sing. The song of the redeemed.
Yeah.
"Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Oh, what a wonderful song that the Lord has given to the redeemed. How many thousands of people have been it gifted with songs because they were saved. I'll tell you one of them, the man that wrote "I Surrender All," he was a man that he didn't have a real close experience with the Lord, and he had his own plan in life. He set out to study to be an artist, and though that's not what God had in mind for him, He came to the point where he surrendered all to God and just gave himself to God to be whatever God wanted him to be. And he didn't know even before that he had a gift of music or songwriting. But when he did that, the Lord gave him that song, "I Surrender All." The the quality of the songs of Zion is that they are lasting. You take a song of Zion, and when it's really anointed and blessed, it just seems to last forever, doesn't it? That's the quality of spiritual songs, is that they become classics. Those, they bless the souls and the hearts of men. They resonate in every age, with every age group. I thank the Lord for the songs. The song that was sung the other night, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Have you ever read about who wrote that song? Name was Jenny B. Wilson. And she was from Indiana back in the 1800s. When she was 4, she was stricken with a spinal illness and she never walked again. And she wrote thousands of songs. She was called the Fanny Crosby of the West. And she, I believe she was an African-American woman, just from infancy or 4 years old on to the rest of her life, she was handicapped. She wrote, I think they said, over 3,000 songs. So did Fanny Crosby. And you know Fanny Crosby was blind.
Yeah.
She was blind from the time that she was a little girl. And she wrote songs. Have you ever heard the story about the author of the song, He Giveth More Grace, When the Burdens Grow Greater? That was Annie Johnson Flint. And as just a young woman, I don't know, maybe early 20s, she also developed some kind of arthritis or something. Anyway, she became an invalid. And to cheer herself up, she would write poetry and send it to her friends. And she began to write different songs. She wrote the song, God hath not promised, skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through, but God hath promised, no, God hath not promised joy. Let's see. God hath not promised. Oh, I can't think of it. Peace without pain, joy without sorrow. I'm sorry. I can't remember it. But those are just samples of, and what's the common denominator in those three that I just mentioned?
Sky's always blue. Flowers strewn pathways all our life through. Has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain.
But God has promised
strength for today, rest for the weary, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love.
And what wonderful words, and written from an invalid. I love to research the stories of different songs that we have. The song, Who Will Suffer with the Savior? Do you remember the story about that? Brother D.S. Warner. He was in a meeting and they were, a mob came and decided to pelt him with eggs and rocks and rotten tomatoes. And I think did one of them kind of injure the brother, and he went out and he wrote that song, Who Will Suffer with the Savior? Remember the story of, there's a story, a legend, I don't know, about a song that they found written in the caves where during the French persecution of the Protestants from the Catholics. That song that says, I have a friend so precious, so very dear to me. He loves me with such tender love. He loves. How is the word? I'm sorry. I just go along and then I just hit a little glitch. Anyway. He loves me faithfully. Yes. These songs that are such a blessing to us, there's a reason why they're a blessing. It's because they're songs of victory. They're songs of Moses and they're songs of the Lamb. And they're songs of deliverance. Oh, we got to look up that one. That's Psalms 32. Psalms 32 and 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And I was looking up on my search in the Bible site that I use. I looked up songs of victory, and I couldn't find it, but another translation uses that term instead of the songs of deliverance. But that's what it is. It means victory here. Songs of victory. Well, then I wanted to encourage us. We have, as parents, we have a great power of influence over our children. And I want to encourage you to direct your children to good songs and to good music.
Amen.
There is just a level of music out even in the children's songs that gets them, kind of preps them for music later on that's darkness. And I want to show you a scripture in 1 Thessalonians. Five. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day.
Yeah.
We are not of the night nor of darkness. And then also Romans 13, to connect with this. The night is far spent. This is verse 12. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Because we're not of the night, we're of the day. We're children of the day. The night is, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. I looked up that word rioting. And you know what it has reference to? Songs. It's talking about unclean, undecent, and dissolute songs. I believe that would be a good description of a lot of songs today, a lot of music today. Unclean, indecent, dissolute would be unrestrained passions and emotions. Let me just say it this way. Love the songs of the day, the songs of the children of light. Let those things dwell in you richly. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And let it come out in songs that are of heavenly origin. I believe there's music that's uplifting, instrumental music. It's uplifting as far as soothing to the body and the mind. But even there, if you just constantly listen maybe to classical or whatever, there's nothing wrong with that, but when your soul needs fed, go to the songs of light. Go to the songs of victory.
Amen.
Go to those that have been inspired in those times of hardship. We have songs in our book by C.W. Naylor. We all know about him. He was injured when the tent he was taking down or putting up at a tent meeting fell on him, and he was an invalid after that. He would lay hands and pray for people, and they would be healed, but he himself was not healed. And he wrote, "My heart says amen to thy will." And think about the song, "One Thing I Can Do." It was written by Ora Teasley. Ora Teasley's husband left her for another woman. That's where that song came from, I do believe. "I thank thee, Lord, that I can cast my burdens all on thee." Now when you sing that, you can think this was written by the agony of a dear sister who was going through such a terrible trial. There are songs that are not songs of the night. They're not the rioting and drunkenness songs, but they are songs of the day. Now let's look at what he said here, both in Colossians and in Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Colossians 3, he says nearly the same thing again to the Colossians. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now the psalms part, those would include the Psalms of David. And those are varied. There are psalms in Psalms of David of affliction, of crying out to the Lord, of times of wrath from the Lord and times of chastening. Mostly, though, they are psalms, they are praises. Then there's hymns. Hymns, I think, mostly have to do with prayers. And we have many songs of prayers, don't we? Savior, thou art life to me. Guide me by thy watchful eye. Let's see, what's another one? O thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, in whom in affliction I call. There are lots of songs in our hymnal that are prayers, and then others, and not in our collection, but in other collection, that are prayers to the Lord. There's that one. Now I come, my Lord, and say, spiritual songs. I believe those spiritual songs are the songs that we have of deep spiritual truth. And he says, teaching and admonishing one another. Tell me some songs that are in our book that are teaching songs. Can you think of some? Or you can start singing one. What's a teaching and admonishing songs? That would, I think, be a spiritual song. Yeah, number 300. 219. I am learning of my Savior. I'm asking for a song that admonishes and teaches.
Watch and pray.
Watch and pray. Yes. Press on. How about another one? If you would be a pillar, that's nearly all scripture. Many of our songs are scripture. The number 45, the grace of God, that is so full of, just like a patchwork quilt of scripture. That's why it's so inspiring.
That
introduces a brand new thought about singing. Because most of that song is what the Lord is saying to us. Fear not, I am with you. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thought. In Isaiah, you look at this. Isaiah 62, verse 5. As a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And that really means, so shall thy sons dwell in thee. Speaking to God's people. As the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. And here's how he does that. This is in now Zechariah. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. It might be that one in Habakkuk. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Where is that? Oh, here we go. Zephaniah. Okay. Zephaniah 3 and 17. The scripture in Isaiah said, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so thy God rejoices over thee. And here it is. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Just think about this. The Lord joys over you with singing. That's a new dimension now. It's not just that I can sing, but the Lord sings to me. The Lord sings of me. The Lord sings. He sings in delight of me. That's a wonderful thought. He sings to comfort me. He sings in the night. He sings in my trials. He sings to me, fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I'll still give thee aid. That's wonderful. Thank the Lord. Oh, may we be inspired to go forth from here singing in our trials, singing in the night, singing in the face of the enemy, singing the name of Jesus, singing the song of the Lamb, singing the song of Moses. Oh, I believe that if we will do that more, there will be more joy. We can rejoice, and the Lord will give us more joy as we rejoice in him. I love that verse right there. He will rest in his love. Sometimes he will just be. Have you ever felt a love that there just weren't words for? I remember that feeling when my first child was born. I was so taken away. I had never, ever, ever felt a love like that. I thought that I had seen everything or felt. No, not the love of a new baby. Oh my, that was overwhelming. And I remember I would sing and sing and sing to that baby. I would hold him and I would whirl around the room with him and just sing and rejoice to that child. Thank the Lord for his songs. I trust that you will leave here encouraged, that the Lord will turn some things in your life that have needed to be turned for a long time, that you will be renewed. I thought about the word revival, and I was thinking about this message, and I thought, that's really not what we think about revival. But then I thought, okay, think about the word revival. If the Lord could revive my spirit that's just needing help, if he can do it with a song, well, thank the Lord. Maybe, you know, maybe a trip to the altar wasn't what I needed, but if I can be revived to singing and to joy, oh, what a wonderful thing that would be. There are times that we just, I went through a time, I think it was last year, where it was just nothing. It was just nothingness. It was just like no feeling, no good feeling, no bad feeling, just blah, just nothing. And I realized that it was for my good. I was encouraged to trust in the grace of God that was strong enough to hold me, and to trust in the word of God and the promises of God. And one day, I believe the Lord started pulling me out of that when he gave me a little song. All his grace is free as the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply. Oh, I thank the Lord today for these thoughts. And I trust that you will be made strong and revived in your hearts.